I was very pleased to hear the children's sermon reference Wikipedia today, because I also used Wikipedia to write my sermon, which I was going to talk about. It's kind of, I don't know, I have to talk about it differently now, because we already heard it. You know, I was old enough to not, like, Wikipedia wasn't around when I was in school, so I couldn't use it on work. But I was like, just at the right age where it started just after that, so I could feel really good about myself that I hadn't used Wikipedia to do my schoolwork, unlike those young whippersnappers. But here I am using Wikipedia for this sermon. The reason, of course, is because my all-time favorite Wikipedia page is the page on the Ten Commandments. If somewhere some internet has probably tracked which Wikipedia page I've looked at the most, it's definitely the one about the Ten Commandments. I finally, actually today, printed out, oh, I forgot to bring it along, I printed out the chart on that page that is my favorite thing, and I'm going to put it on the desk next to my, put it on the wall next to my desk in my office there, so that I have to look at this Wikipedia page less. The reason I like this page so much is because it has a chart of how different religious traditions number the Ten Commandments. Now, I know that some of you have heard me talk about this before, and some of you maybe have not, but I grew up Catholic, and I got into the Lutheran biz, as you can see, when I did some studying, I found that those two traditions number the Ten Commandments differently. And then I looked even further, and I found that they number more similarly than lots of other groups do. In the Wikipedia page, which is more accurate, by the way, than the other charts I've found, that's the thing. I looked at, like, the Lutheran preacher chart, and that chart was wrong. That said, Lutherans and Catholics are the same. They're not the same. And so I keep going back to Wikipedia to see how all these, there's like seven or eight different ways to number the Ten Commandments. And you should know, people attending a Lutheran church, that the Lutherans number them in a unique way compared to all other Christians and Jews and anybody else. Based on Martin Luther's numbering system. So the Ten Commandments that you learned are not the Ten Commandments that are up on the wall at the courthouse at the place where they're not supposed to be up on the wall or whatever. You know what I mean? Like if they ever put the Ten Commandments on the wall, it won't be the ones you learned, in this church at least. And the Catholics also get cranky when they put up the wrong Ten Commandments on the courthouse, according to a cursory Google search. for instance, Lutherans are the only ones that number the Ten Commandments with coveting your neighbor's house as a specific commandment, as opposed to coveting the wife and the possessions and the donkeys and all the other things. Lutherans are the only ones that have house-specific. Now, big deal. That one doesn't matter very much compared to the others. There's lots of ways to do that, because there's a bunch of thou shalt not covet this and that and the other thing, and you get to decide how many commandments that is. It can be one or two or three or whatever. Because there are more than 10 things in what we call the Ten Commandments. And so everybody has to decide how to count them. It's important, right? The Ten Commandments, everybody agrees, is one of the most important things in the Bible. When we baptize somebody, when we baptize a baby or a small child, we, the parents, and also kind of the rest of the congregation, promise to teach them the Ten Commandments, along with the Creed and the Lord's Prayer. I mean, it's like one of the few named things. It's in the small catechism, if you've ever did some Lutheran education stuff. As it happens, we're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments in confirmation this week. I don't see any of the confirmation kids. Looks like they all ditched out and went to Sunday school, which they're not supposed to do. But that's okay. Not a big deal, because we're going to learn about the Ten Commandments in confirmation this week anyway. They could have just got a head start. And that's just coincidental, because that's one of the things we talk about and happens to be next on the list. So, the important thing about how Lutherans number the Ten Commandments that I don't like, there's lots of other Christian traditions that also do it this way, and I don't like that either, is that when we do the Ten Commandments, we leave out the beginning of the story. The beginning goes like this. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. We skip over that part, officially, and we get right to the you shall have no other gods, which is my favorite of the ones we do, but I think this first part is very important in the Jewish counting of the Ten Commandments, and it seems like their counting should carry some weight, because they had it first. We're just kind of just newcomers. Like when Ben referenced the 4,000 years, that's fully half the time. This was the first one. And then we're like, nah, So let us consider that in the Jewish numbering, this is the first command or saying or matter to be attended to. This one, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. That's the first thing. And if that's the first thing, even one of the Lutheran commentators I read this week said, boy, I really wish we had left that one in. We should just kind of slide that one in there, because it's really important. The Catholics add that one to the first part that we have. Because if you begin with that in the Ten Commandments, what is it saying? It's saying, I am the God who has set you free. And all of the other commandments come in response to what God has done, to the fact that God has set God's people free. Now that sounds pretty Lutheran in terms of how we like to do things, but we've left it off the Ten Commandments, so we'll use the wisdom of our interfaith and ecumenical partners and kind of just add that part back in. Each of the other Ten Commandments can be read like that. It can be started with, God has set you free, therefore do not steal. God has set you free, therefore do not bear false witness. Therefore, keep the Sabbath holy. God has set you free is the critical beginning to any one of God's commandments. You'll notice that these commandments don't contain an or else clause. I mean, there's plenty of places in the Bible where there's an or else, and it's like there's implied in some other spots. And there's in the parts we kind of gloss over in the Ten Commandments, there are some little more threatening words. But there's no keep this commandment or else here is a consequence. Right? When I think of the Ten Commandments, I would generally think of them as sort of punitive, you know, do this or else. But instead of do this or else, we get God has set you free, so do this. The order is completely different. And the motivation is completely different. The commandments exist so that we might give thanks to God. That's what the commandments are about. They're about giving thanks to God. They're not about do this or else you're in trouble. They're not about punishing people. They're not about keeping the people in line, even. They're about giving thanks for what God has done in setting God's people free. Now, generally, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, we break them into two parts. The first part is the ones kind of between people and God. And the second part is kind of the ones between God and, or between people and other people. That's how we think of it. So you got the beginning, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God and remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. People generally think of those. There's four things. They count them as three, usually. People generally think of those as between us and God, about keeping our relationship with God. And the others, thou shalt not steal. Nobody's stealing from God, so don't, you know, that's about your neighbor. I listened to my favorite preaching podcast this week, and somebody asked their sort of their Hebrew scripture expert on the podcast, what do you think of that? Is that division helpful, these having two halves, about us and God and us and our neighbors? And he said, yeah, it's helpful, he said, but it's not really accurate. And I was like, ooh, tell me more. I haven't heard this one before. This is interesting. So this guy's name is Rolf Jacobson. He's the one that had the chart I didn't like about the things. So Wikipedia has a better chart. But he more than redeemed himself here, this professor, when he talked about when people break these commandments, even the first half, the ones that seem to be between us and God, when people break these commandments, they generally break them in such a way to harm their neighbor or to set themselves above their neighbor. So let's see if that actually works. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make of yourself an idol. So when people set up other gods, usually they do that in such a way so that they can set themselves above their neighbor. So when people treat money like an idol, they do that so they can have more money than their neighbors, they can have more stuff than their neighbor. Right? That's why people set up money as an idol. When people, to use the recent example, when people set up guns as an idol, they do that so that they can feel powerful and so they can potentially kill their neighbor and claim that it's justified. That's what, we won't even get in too far into that, but it's just a real clear example of when people set idols, they set those idols so that they can be powerful over and against their neighbors. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. When people curse using God's name, they're usually not cursing God, they're cursing their neighbors. They're declaring judgment and claiming it to be God's judgment over their neighbors so that they can say, well, my way is right and your way is wrong and God told me so. That's one of the key frequent ways that people misuse the name of the Lord their God, by saying, I know God's judgments and you don't, and I'm on the right side and you're on the wrong side. That's a very frequent way of misusing the name of the Lord your God, and it's a lot more important than if you smash your thumb with a hammer and say something you didn't mean to say, right? It's a lot more important than that. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The Sabbath is for everyone, and I noted when Sue read this just now that it said, even for the resident alien among you, they shall keep the Sabbath. Now that seems like it might be, okay, well they have to follow this rule, but what if it's different than that? What if it's, you can't exploit even the resident alien among you and make them work on the day when you have a day off? Because when people don't keep the Sabbath, it's usually not that they want to work extra, it's that they want to make somebody else work extra for them. This is just a little bit of Marxism just dropped right in here, just a flavor, just like a pinch, just to make the stew taste just right. But really, keeping the Sabbath is about that. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about keeping yourself healthy and about keeping others healthy. And so that a person in power can't force someone else to work every day. Because that's called slavery. And the whole point of this is getting out of that kind of bondage. Because God has set the people free. God has set the people free. And when we are free, we're free to treat one another with dignity, to treat one another with respect, to honor one another in all things. That's how all of these commandments break down. It's why when Jesus, in later stories, breaks the Sabbath commandment, he does some healing on the Sabbath, right? And they're like, oh, you broke the law. And they're all angry at Jesus for breaking the law because they think he's broken the law against God. But Jesus realizes that the point of that law is so that people can't abuse one another. The point of even the Sabbath law is so that people can't abuse one another. And so Jesus heals somebody on the Sabbath, which is against the letter of the law, but it's absolutely with the spirit of the law. All of these commandments come in response to what God has done for us. God has set us free. In the commandments itself, the example is when God set the people free from slavery in Egypt. In the death and resurrection of Jesus, we as followers of Jesus know that God has set us free, even from the power of sin, even from the power of death. And when we are free to love God and to love our neighbor, to serve God and to serve our neighbor. To not harm our neighbor. We couldn't harm God if we tried, so. But there's a lot of ways we can harm our neighbor. And there's a lot of ways we do harm our neighbor in the name of God. And that's why these commandments are so important, because this is God saying, I have set you free. Therefore, you shall not hurt one another. You shall not set yourselves above one another to gain my favor, God says. Because nothing you do is going to gain God's favor. Nothing you do is going to bring you closer to God. Because God has already set you free. The Ten Commandments are not a competition to see who can get close to God. None of us can get close to God because God has already come close to us. in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. So even these Ten Commandments, the pinnacle of the law in the Bible, are good news for us. Amen.